Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, 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 right up to the very moment right there, brothers and sisters. So we have the audio, I think three more right here as we complete here this double portion for this Shabbat here, first day, Melkam Ahud, beautifully good first day, the Yom HaRishon Tov, maybe good, and the Shabuah, the seven to come, Shabuah Tov as well, Chabarim. Well, here, take a moment to reset right here on the board, and we continue. But these 42 places, some interesting reasoning, looking at the various names and what's in the names of these 42 peculiar places, and also the significance. What is the significance of the number 42? My ones and ones, hopefully get to tune in and get to call in also on the YouTube, on the Rastafari Israelites. I'd like to see if we can bring up this page. We look up the number 42. I think there's a Wikipedia page out here, has some various information, some of it useful for I. Let's see if we can bring this up right here. 42, the number 42. Right now from Kemet. In Kemet, there were 42 sacred precincts, or you could say nomes or provinces, you know, holy districts, right? We also have the number 42 in the Ana Bekoah, right, that Kabbalistic prayer that we chant sabbatically concerning the seven names of Yahuwah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem, of He who be, who He be, who He be, those seven names, those seven attributes. I just looked at the number 42 here. First thing that popped up here with the number 42. So here, I think the Rastafari Israelites have just published, and so you can check us out there as well. Those who are calling in, call in 515-602-9761 here. Podcast call-in, 515-602-9761, or check out the live stream on Rastafari Israelite. So here, we are just musing here on the first day service. Once again, on Melkam Ehud, in the Royal Amharic, Melkam, good, beautifully good, Ehud from the Ahad, the first day. Sunday was called by the Gentiles. Sunday is the first day, and here call this the first day service, aka the Sunday service. But here we just completed the first two readings here, right? The first two readings right here, the Rishon for the second part of this double portion for Masa'e, stages. Another way of bringing it out in translation, often it's interpreted Masa'e, the 43rd sabbatical study, this RSS, Rastafari Shabbat Seder here. It's also translated as journeys, but a little better in the Hebrew sense is stages. These are the stages. Eile Masa'e B'nei Yisrael. Eile Masa'e B'nei Yisrael. Asher Yatzu Me'eretz Mitzrayim Le Tzibotam B'yad Moshe V'Aharon. So here we're picking up here, have a couple more aliyot here to fulfill here this fourth book. And Chazak in advance, be strong, V'nita Chazek, and be strengthened, be encouraged. We need a chazek, a hitzpael sense of it is like make I and I encourage, make I and I strengthen one another. You know, fulfilling here, you know, a full reading and a study here of the fourth book of Moshe, known as Numbers. So here we're at the 10th and the final parasha, the final mana, the angel's bread here, Masa'e, the stages. The Masa'e, B'nei Yisrael, the stages of the sons of Yisrael, brought out in translation often as the children of Israel, by that they went forth out of the land of Egypt. Asher Yatzu, the Yetziat in the Hebrew, in the Royal Amharic, second book of Moses, known as the Orit Zetzaat. Sa'at, the Sa'ah, to come out. Yatsu, 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 they came out. Yatsu, May Eret, from the Eret, from the land Mitzrayi, of the double mitzvahs, the upper and the lower. Le Tzib Otam, Le Tzib Otam, by their hosts or of their hosts, their Tzib Otam, the Sabah, Sabah, is like the host. So we have two main sabas. One is the fighting man of Israel, of Yasher Allah, and then we have the priests, or the Levites and the priests, the Levitical order, also their service, right? Their service, say like the host, right? So we have like a campaign. It's almost like co-laborers in a sense. The fighting men, the military co-labor, and the tabernacle, the sacred co-labor of Halloween, of the Levites, generally speaking, and HaKohanim, the priest. But here it says, Eile, Eile, these, in the Hebrew, Eile, Eile, these, Masa'ei, the stages, B'nai Yisrael, of the sons of Israel, Asher, that which Yatsu'u, by that they came forth, they went forth, Me'eret Mitzrayi, from the land of the double mitzvahs, right, upper and lower, L'Tzibotam, by their hosts or their armies, Tzibotam, B'yad, I would say Yahuwah, Jehovah, Sebaot, Sebaot, Yahuwah, Sebaot, well, here we have L'Tzibotam. So here we also have the Sebaot right even here. Amongst Yisrael, he who be, who he be, of Yisrael, biyad, biyad, by the yad, by the hand, biyad, on the hand, in the hand, by way of the hand, biyad Moshe, by the hand of Moshe, where Aharon and Aaron. Another important note that we notice is that Aliyah from the After Shabbat podcast, the first part here, 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 here on the Sunday service, where it says in verse 2, it says that Moshe wrote their goings. Uh-oh, he wrote it. Now, you note here in Midbar, by Midbar, Moses is told, okay, after this Midianite campaign, you know, you're going to be gathered to your people, which is, I guess, an ancient Hebraicism way of saying, like, you know, you're going home, you're going home to your ancestors. You're going to leave. In other words, you're going to, people say, die. Right, so he knows that his death is soon. He's seen his sister has passed, Miriam, his brother, Aharon, had passed as well. And now it is his time. So here in Numbers, now his death actually is mentioned not here, 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 but actually in Devarim. Now, there's a lot of confusion about Devarim, you know, a lot of speculation, but Devarim, come from the Hebrew perspective, Devarim means the words. The words in the sense of Devarim specifically is speaking about the 10 words or what's called the 10 commandments of Devarim. But generally speaking, it can mean words. But specifically, when we look in HaTorah, it's speaking of the commandments, the 10 words, which is the perfect, you say the perfect will, right, of he who be who he be. In other words, if we can fulfill the 10 words, the 10 commandments, all the rest is just like explanation and case study. And for example, it's all about the 10 words, the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments need fulfillment, right? Yeshua HaMashiach, right? In Ayin Emuna, right? Is a template and a type of that fulfillment. But here, speaking of the mediator here, right, of the Torah of Moses, because you know we get the Torah of Yeshua. We get the Torah of Yeshua HaMashiach. A lot of people don't recognize that. That yes, with the Torah of Moses, right, in a sense being being superseded, right, but the principles remaining the same by the Torah, right, of Yeshua, the Torah of HaMashiach, the Torah of Messiah. You can point you to Romans chapter 8. It's all about the law. Right, the law of the spirit of life that's found in HaMashiach Yeshua. But here, Moses was the mediator, right, of the Berit HaYeshana, or the previous covenant, we say the old covenant, and Yeshua HaNotzri, the mediator of the Berit Chadasha. But here it says, then Moses wrote, because we say, well, how did Moses write about his death? His death is written about. Well, you know, There's the Levites. They're the keepers of the scriptures. Right? They have their roles and function. They're not the Kohanim, the priests who serve in the offerings and in the sacred service. But they also have, the Levites have their role and responsibility with the scrolls. Right? So Devarim is also known, that's the next Deuteronomy coming forward. As we say, Chazak, Chazak, be strong, Wanit Chazek, and be strengthened and be encouraged, or make I and I strengthen. Encourage I and I to study and continue in the Torah readings and sabbatical studies so we can grow in grace and the knowledge of the King of Kings Christ. But Deuteronomy is known as the Mishnah HaTorah. In the Deuteronomy, it is called the Mishnah. You might hear the Mishnah. You might hear about Talmud. You might hear about Gemara. These are Hebrew words, and to get the proper context, we need to understand the Hebrew. The Mishnah HaTorah is a repetition of the Torah. We get Moshe's, in that book there, we get Moses, like his final sermons, his final, like, advice, his parting. You say his parting commentary and reasoning. Right, his parting commentary and reasoning, right? Well, of course, Moshe did not write about his death. I think a more important question is, well, who buried Moses? Because Yahweh says that he buried Moshe. Got a problem with that? Take it up with the boss. But here in Maaseh, here in Numbers chapter 33 at verse 2, it says, and Moses wrote their goings. So how was HaTorah put together? Well, primary text, you know, the primary parchments of the patriarchs. The patriarchs had their parchments. Not a full books, but, you know, like family members pass things on, right? It occurs all through the ancient world and to some degree even today. Like, if you've got Facebook, you know, you put your information on Facebook, so you figure you got all that information, family share thing, you have all that information there, right? Even though we're far apart and separate. But what would it be like if all your family links and relations were all together? You would not keep any record of that. To think that the Hebrews and the Israelites generally did not write anything is foolish, right? But specifically, Moses wrote their goings forth. Moses wrote large sections of HaTorah, right? And he received other parchments and fragments from the patriarchs as they were passed down. We can go to other documentation, even the Ethiopic Book of Enoch and Jubilees, but other documentation and also some of the available evidences. But this is the evidence right here where it says, Vayiktov, or modern Hebrew, Vayiktov, modern Hebrew, or ancient pointing, Vayiktov Moshe. And Moses katab to write, wa and yiktob. And Moses wrote, right, et motzaehem. And Moses wrote their goings forth. Moses wrote it. Now, it's interesting, this word here, motzaehem. It has a tsa'ah, the sense of coming out. Like in Amharic, we say wet'ah, but the tsa'ah, the motzaehem. Their motzaeh, their comings, their, almost in a sense, their emanatings, in a sense. They're coming forward, their proceedings out, right? Their proceedings. But literally, more directly to the English, it would be their exodusing. He recorded their exodusing, stage by stage. Stage by stage, by the commandment of Yahweh, and these are their stages at their going forth. So here in the Hebrew, Vayiktov Moshe et motzaehem le maaseihem al pi Yahuwah ve'ele maaseihem le motzaehem. So here it says that Moses, he recorded and he wrote this. Now this is the word right here for actual writing. You know, writing. There's a safar, like the sefer, cipher, a book, but it can also be like a retelling, right? It can be like an oral tradition, right? While the katab here and Vayiktov, and he wrote, means that the primary documents that form HaTorah, right, was provided primarily when talking about the Torah, direction, instructions by Moshe. Right? Of course, additional sign-off detail, like we said before, many people have researched and written books and spent many years of their life studying and researching something. And sometimes they have an intention to publish it, and then they pass away just before they publish it. But it's those who are working with them. If they have, like Moses had his disciples, Moshe, even a name in Amharic, Musa, the head of a fraternal order. So we had the Lewim, Halewim, he had the Levites, he had the Kohanim, right, who also are witnesses of these events. But I think it's significant that here in Masa'eh, at the second verse, it says, and Moses wrote their going. So they say, well, who wrote it? Well, Moses wrote their going. When they then try to be funny and say, well, what about in Deuteronomy? Right? Let them know you're a disciple. You study to show yourself approved. Deuteronomy, right? Deuteronomy is a wrap-up, is a duplication of the law. It's a recounting by Moshe, his final sermons. And if Moses is speaking these things, you don't think no one is writing? We know that ones are writing because this is part of the charge of the Levites, the Lewim, right? This is part of their charge. Their charge is to be keepers, you know, of the sacred scrolls, of the recordings, right? And to record these things as well as the business, the ongoing business of the Bnei Yisrael. Now, being compiled into one book as, you know, or into books as we have it, well, that's a process of time. But we just zoom in on this verse here, second verse, Numbers chapter 33, verse 2, and Moshe wrote their goings forth, like their exodusing, or they're moving forward, right? The first moving forward was the Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Sa'at, the coming out of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, stage by stage, but then moving forward even from place to place, stage by stage, Le Masa'ehem. So we have Masa'eh, the stages or journeys of, and here we have in the Hebrew, Masa'ehem, their Masa'eh, their journeys, or bringing out the Hebrew sense of it, a better applicative sense, stage by stage, the different stages, like step by step. It says, Al-Pi Yahuwah, often translated as by the command of the Lord, by the command of Yahweh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem. Here it says, Al-Pi, on the mouth, Al-Pi. So we have the Pi and the Phi for mouth in the Hebrew, the two pointings of the mouth in Hebrew, the Pi, the P here, and the Phi, the mouth, the Pi and the Phi. Sacred Geometry, Book of Numbers, Book of Numbers, Al-Pi, on the mouth of Yahuwah, on the mouth of he who be who he be. We'ele, ve'ele, we'ele, and these, and these, and these, and these, Masa'ehem, and these are their stages, or these are the stage by stage, le motza'ehem, of their goings forth, of their coming out. You know, they're going forth to a place, and then they're going forward, coming out of that place, and then going forth to a next place. So we have 42. In the previous, I think about a Sabbath or two ago, we touched on briefly the number 42, right? And here's what came up with number 42, because there's 42 stages. There's also initially 42 cities that are given to Halloween throughout Yisrael, Yasharala, and then there are six additional ones that are sanctuary or refuge cities. Going to have that coming up as we fulfill right here, here, here. Now here, this is what came up. It says the number 42 is especially significant for to fans, right, of science fiction novelists, some guy named Douglas Adams, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, because that number is the answer given by a supercomputer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything. This right here, that's the first thing that came up when we put number 42, right? Number 42. What does 42 mean in the meaning of life? Well, here, this is interesting. They say 42 means everything. Now, remember, the book is called, in translation, Numbers, right? And throughout the book, there are sacred geometrical numbers, right, that can be matched to many things above in the heavens, on earth, even the pyramids, right? What does 42 mean in the meaning of life here? This is a question that people ask. Everything is the answer. 42 and the asterisk symbol. 42 and the asterisk symbol. 42 is the ASCII code for the symbol, the asterisk, also known as asterisk. Astia, like the name Esther. Esther, right? We have Esther. Also in the other pointing of this word sign, we have Ishtar. So we have Esther, Astia, which means a star. This symbol is often thought to translate to anything or everything. In this instance, 42 equals everything, the meaning of life. Interesting how this goes right here, right? The number 42. But there's a wiki page. So we have 42, the sacred precincts, the sacred gnomes, the sacred provinces, or precincts, districts and areas in ancient Hecapata, Egypta, Egypt, Kemet, the Smaitawi, Hebrews, we say Mitzrayi, right, from the most archaic, the original groundational, the two, the upper and lower, before it all came together, 42. So we have the number 42. Let's bring this up briefly right here. The number 42 is a very interesting page here, 42 in mathematics, 42 in science, 42 in technology, 42 in astronomy, 42 in religion, 42 in popular culture, 42 in other fields and other languages. We're going to zoom in on the R word. In religion, the number 42. So I know all the the overzealous Kemeticists and Egyptologists and other anti-biblicists, they will say, oh, that was stolen from Kemet. Like nobody ever counted up to 42 and beyond. Come on, get off it now. But we give thanks for ancient Egypt becoming a mouthpiece. You know, Yahweh says, and Egypt, my people. So that's where we stand on that. But on religion here, ancient Egyptian religion, or Hymenot, right? Over most of pharaonic Egyptian Mitzrayim history, the empire was divided into 42 nomes. Nomes. What is a nome? Well, a nome is like a district, a territorial division of ancient Egypt. And each nome was ruled by a nomarch, right? Or the Heregtep, right? Heregtep, the chief, the great chief. The number of nomes changed through the various periods of the history of ancient Egypt. But overall, it basically comes down to the same 42, right? So ancient Egyptian religion, their faith, their mythological structure frequently modeled this terrestrial structure, right? So now 42, it is said by some 42 parts of the one they call Osiris, according to the typology. We have the Abel, Ebel, but in some traditions of the Osiris, the Assyrian, Ashuran myth, Seth, Sutan, slays Osiris and distributes his 42 body parts all over Mitzrayim. In other versions, of the ancient Egyptian mythos, the number is 14 and some say 16. There's also the 42 negative confessions. And we'll say this once again. No, the Torah was not taken from the 42 confessions, right, of that they say Ma'at, but originally it was Nebseni. Come on, give Nebseni his credit there, according to the archaeology and the evidence, right? But the 42 negative confessions. In ancient Mitzrayim, in their religion and mythos, the 42 negative confessions were a list of questions asked of deceased persons making their journey through the underworld after death. It's interesting here because the Bnei Yisrael in the Egyptian context were like dead. They were dead to the, Egypt was dead to them in a sense, or was supposed to be, but they were definitely dead to the ancient Egyptians. And they are passing through this wilderness experience that is very much like what the Egyptians believed that the deceased would go through in their journey through the underworld, right? Or through that particular midbar. Now, Ma'at was an abstract concept that represented moral law order, and truth in both the phi cycle, the physical and moral spheres, as well as being an important goddess or nature or feminine principle in the ancient Mitzrayim religion and belief system. Now, in the judgment scene in the Meshkenet, right, described in the Egyptian, what they call the Book of the Dead, the Perim Heru, right, which evolved from the ancient coffin text and the pyramid text, 42 questions were asked of the deceased person as part of the assessment of the mayat, right, of the moral law, moral principle. If the deceased person could reasonably give answers to the 42 questions, they would be permitted to enter the afterlife. It's kind of interesting here, right? So definitely we have similar, but similar doesn't mean the same. See, for the ancient Egyptians, it was after you die, you know, and, you know, you're buried the proper way, and you have your mortuary, your funeral cult, and the priest says the right words on this side. Everything was believed to be right with you on that side. But it's interesting here with the children of Israel, because we have this going forth by day and by night. Even that, what is it, the pillar of cloud by day, right? You know, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire, right? The pillar of fire by night, even in the language in Ha Torah. It reminds me of some people's version of religion and maybe Christianity in some sense today, you know, where some people believe that they don't go to heaven, like, you know, after they die, they don't go up in the sky, heaven, that's what they believe. But if you read the New Testament carefully, even our Father prayer is our one evidence. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Right? It's about establishing God's governance on earth, and we are the co-laborers. Right? We labor to fulfill it, right, in our lifetime, in our liberty. You know what I mean? So that death, the final enemy, will be no more. But I and I digress right there. So if a deceased person could reasonably give answers to the 42 questions, they will be permitted to enter the afterlife. So some people think that great God will come from the sky. Some people think they will get into heaven or paradise after you die, while others have a phase of establishing it in the here and now. This is definitely the Hebrew perspective according to the text. So, yes, Moshe was learned in all the wisdom of the Egypts. You know, but it's like some people are learned in what the Bible really says, and they apply the principles to their life, while other people have a belief system, a kind of a hope and belief, while others, you know, act and do. But once again, not to digress, these 42 questions are known as the 42 negative confessions and can be found in a funerary text such as the Papyrus of Ani or Anui. Right? 42 books in the core library. I found this to be interesting right here, brothers and sisters, on the number 42. But number 42 appears here in two interesting ways in the book of Numbers. One, in the number of cities allotted to Halloween, to the Levites, to the priests, Levites, priests, right? And Moshe learned in the wisdom of 42 cities, and also 42 places. 42 places, 42 spots, and particular interest to the fellow disciples, right, seeking to know the truth for themselves, is studying the metaphysical, the Hebrew names, the basic, you know, meaning of the names and their metaphysical application. Because what we find in these 42 spots is like a kind of a spiritual evolution, right? The experiences that one goes through, even in regeneration. 42 books in the core library. Now, Clement Alimentos of Iskandaria, like Alimentos of Alexandria, he states that the Egyptian temple library is divided into 42, quote, absolutely necessary books. Must say this, that I've heard about Clement of Alexandria probably before, but it was, you know, studying the Tewahedo, the Ethiopian Tewahedo church, that integrally, you know, Ethiopian Hebrew African church. You know, it's interesting the regard for the writings of Clement, and also in studying Clement of Alexandria, I would definitely recommend it for ones at that point of their studies. But Clement of Alexandria, he states that in the Egyptian temple library, was divided into 42 absolutely necessary books. that form the stock of the core library. 36 books contain the entire philosophy, the love of wisdom of the Egyptians, Mitzrayim, that are memorized by HaKohanim, that are what? That are memorized. Memorization is another way of saying learning it by heart. So even when it says Shema Yisrael, right, hear, Israel, that these things of all your heart, memorizing, learning by heart. While there are six remaining books that are learned by the pastophoroi, right, or the image, what's called the image bearers. 36 is likewise a sacred number in the Mitzrayim thought, relating to time. In particular, the 36 Deccan stars and the 36 10-day weeks in the Mitzrayim year. Now, the 42 were not canonized like the Hebrew Bible. In other words, they were not put into one volume. You know, there were different volume, different scrolls, right? But not put into all one volume like the Hebrew Bible. And even with the Hebrew scrolls, you know, it was not all into one book until very later, even in the Christian times, it was put into one book. Even though we had sometimes Torah scrolls that contained the full Torah, but other scrolls were other scrolls. But the 42 books from the Mitzrayim, ancient Egypt, Kemet, were not canonized like the Hebrew Bible. They only supported and never replaced the temple ritual. In our studies, one interesting thing is, you know, is that aspect, you know, of so-called comparative religious practices, you know, the temple ritual. It's like if you notice here in HaTorah, there's a lot of emphasis in the Torah, right, to the practices, to the offerings, to the ritual, the rites and the ritual, the tabernacle ritual. In other words, once again, the 42 books were not canonized like the Hebrew Bible. They only supported as a point of reference, never replace the temple ritual. Same thing with HaTorah. There's that tabernacle ritual, right? Even the Shabbat, the sabbatical, the Seder, the order, even during the high holy days, you know, it's living it out, right? It is living it out. Hence, the destruction of the Egyptian temples and the cessation of the rituals, that is what really ended the ancient Mitzrayim Kemetic cultural continuity. You know, many of these pseudo-pro-black, you know, Kemeticists, they like to blame, you know, like Judaism or the Hebrews, or they like to blame the Israelites or like to blame the Christians. But no, it was actually the destruction of the Egyptian temples and the stop doing of the rites and rituals. Because just imagine, since they didn't canonize their books, right, and do their rituals. See, they canonized, the ancient Kemetics had canonized their books and did their rituals, right? Then even when the temples were destroyed, right, one could still continue their rituals. But then when things got fragmented, things really got fragmented and buried over in the sand, and it wasn't until the latter days and times of the European grave robbers and others. And you have to give some thanks because, you know, we're learning something. But, you know, grave robber, I wouldn't like your job. But anyway, in the Abrahamic religions, right, so we give first place to ancient Egypt because we as the Beta Israel compared to Egypt, we're like, you know, so-called the new kids, or like we're the youths on the block. Ancient Egypt is well old. I mean, she really, really is old. So give her first place. It says to respect the elders, right? But here, Abrahamic religions or the religions of Abraham, you know, usually go into the Judaism, Christianity, and the Islam, you know, routine sometimes, or just a Judeo-Christian elements, but there are 42 stations of the Exodus. This is what this Torah reading and feeding, once again, in numbers as we fulfill here. 42 stations, 42 stages, 42 camps, sites, spots that are the locations, locations visited, right, by the Bnei Yisrael, by the sons of Israel and the whole called Beit Israel, all the house of Israel in their tribe, following their exodus, they're coming out from Mitzrayim. This is recorded in Numbers chapter 33, and here we're going to pick up with Numbers chapter 33. Now, Judaically speaking, right, in Yehudinet, or what others might call Judaism, the number, now referring to the Babylonian Talmud, point of reference, Talmud means teaching. So there was teaching from different areas of the diaspora, right? So there was the Jerusalem Talmud, Palestinian Talmud, the Kevra Neges is like the Ethiopian Hebrew Talmud, Tim Herod teaching. But in the Babylonian teaching or Talmud, compiled, some say, in 375 A.D. to 499 A.D., right, there is a 42-letter name ascribed to Hashem, ascribed to Jehovah, right? Rab or Rabs, a third-century source in the Talmud and the teaching stated this, that the 42-lettered name is entrusted only to him who is pious, a Hasid, meek, middle-aged, free from bad temper, sober, and not insistent on his rights. Again, this 42-letter name ascribed to Hashem, ascribed to the power, according to one teaching, right, was entrusted only to him or to one who is pious, a Hasid, meek, middle-aged, free from bad temper, sober, and not insistent on his rights. And this is in Talmud Kedushin 71a, right? Now, Maimonides, one of the latter-day scholars, some very interesting reasonments in his Guide to the Perplexed. Maimonides felt that the original Talmudic 42-letter name was perhaps composed of several combined divine names. And Maimonides Moreh, in the Moreh, in the teacher, he looked at this 42-lettered name, right, as being a combination of several of the divine names or attributes attributed to Yahweh. The apparently unpronounceable in the later day times, Yahweh, Yahweh, the Hashem, the Tetragrammaton, it provides the backdrop from the 12-lettered name and the 42-lettered name of the ancient teaching. Also, some traditions, right, hold that the Torah scroll is written with no fewer than 42 lines per column. Did you know that the Torah scrolls, the handwritten Torah scrolls, are written with no fewer than 42 lines per column? And this is said to be based on the journeys or the stages of the Bnei Yisrael. In the present day, 42 lines is the most common standard, but various traditions remain in use. Here, 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 number 42, right? Hebraically, Judaically speaking, 42 is the number with that Ha Elohim, Ha El, the Almighty creates the universe, creates Ha Olamim, creates the worlds. According to the Kabbalistic tried and tradition, in the Kabbalah, right, the most significant name is that of Ein Sof, Ein Sof. Ein Sof, essentially Ein means without, right, and Sof is almost like to say end. So Ein Sof from the Hebrew, these two Hebrew words, Ein or Ein, Ein, not, or without Sof. Ein Sof, without ending, to say infinite or endless. Who is above the Sephirot, the ciphers, some regard that as worlds, right? The 42-lettered name contains four combined names which are spelt in Hebrew letters, spelt in letters, 42 letters. Now, this is the name of the Atzilut, by Atzilut, which is called emanation. Right, and remember, according to the teaching of Ionite Godfather and King of Kings, man is not emanated from a deity. Emanations do emanate from man, but man is not emanated from a deity. He was created in the image after likeness. So we have the Atzilut, right, Kabbalistically speaking, called the emanation, or really Atzil means like to be alongside, has more of a parakletos, right? You know, alongside reference. While there are obvious links between the 42-letter name of the Babylonian Talmud and the Kabbalah 42-letter name, they are probably not identical because the Kabbalah emphasis on numbers, right? Kabbalah, as we say, the Kabbalat Shabbat, welcoming the Sabbath. Kabbalah, Kabbal, mean to receive, right? Kabbalah and Amharic, Kabbalah in the Hebrew, to receive or to welcome. The Kabbalah also contains 45-letter name and a 72-letter name. Lastly, but not leastly, right here, 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 the number 42 also appears in various contexts in what they call Christianity and Christina. There are 42 generations, did you know, the names, the Shemot, the generations in the gospel according to Matanyahu, Matthew's version of the genealogy of Yeshua. It is prophesied that for 42 months, the beast will hold dominion over the earth according to the Chazon Yohanan, Revelation chapter 13, verse 5. 42 men of Beth Azmavet were counted in the census of men of Israel upon return from exile. 42 men of a place called Beit Azmavet that were counted in the census of men of Israel upon the return from exile in Ezra chapter 2, verse 24. And Elohim sent beers to maul 42 of the teenage boys who mocked Elisha for his baldness in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. Interesting, baldness. There's not even going to say the crazy bald head, right? The true interpretation is not merely physical, it's metaphysical, but that's an interesting link right there for 42. The Gutenberg Bible is also known as the 42-line Bible, one of the early first Bibles, the Gutenberg in the English from the Latin, right? It's known as the 42-line Bible, as the book contains 42 lines per page. I wonder where they got that from. 42 articles in 1552. In latter-day history, largely the work of Thomas Cranmer, were intended to summarize the so-called Anglican doctrine as it now existed under the reign of Edward VI, right, of Edward VI. In East Asian religions, the Sutra of 42 sections is a Buddhist scripture. Just looking at the significance of this number 42, in Japanese culture, the number 42 is considered Japanese, unlucky because the numerals, when pronounced separately in the Japanese shi-ni, shi-four and ni-two, shi-ni, it sounds like the word in Japanese for dying, right? Like the Latin mori, we have the word mori, mori, right? So we talked in the Hitchhiker's Guide, there's some other references as well to number 42, you know, in popular culture, you know, can touch on that, get into more details. But after all, since we're in the book of Numbers, it's kind of interesting just to point out some key examples, you know, of numbers, you know, of numbers here. And hopefully we can pick up on the other sections we didn't touch on, the mathematics, science, technology, and astronomy. So here, yes, I, Melkam Hood, bless his first day, Shabuot Tov, a good strong seven.
Glory to the Most High Jah, Rastafari, King of Kings, Lords of Lords. Conquering Lion of the tribe of Judah, elect of God, light of the world, is these Imperial Majesty, Emperor Hail Selassie. Protect my son David as he traveled this lonely path. Steer my son far from bloody men. Surround him with opinions sharp as daggers. Bless him with a vision to distinguish friends from foes. Bless his listeners with overstanding and patience. Remind the critics that all judgment belongs to thee. May the words of thy mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy presence, Selah.
So we have right here, we have the evening psalm for the first day, Psalm 24, I'm still meditating that 42. Interesting, 24, mirror image. Oh, chant, no wonder. Seeing that in dyslexia for a moment. But yeah, so we have Psalm 24, the evening psalm for the first day psalm, Psalm 24, here. Give thanks to Sister Makeda, Queen Makeda. She shared with I and I. I'd like to share with the I and them as well. This particular tune right here is a redo of Clean Hands, a new version of Clean Hands right here. Clean Hands, Niki Kapayi Ubal Labab. Niki Kapayi Ubal Labab. Clean Hands, Niki Kapayi Ubal Labab, or Labab in modern Hebrew. But here. This is contained in Psalm 24, the evening psalm. Evening precedes the morning and day. The evening psalm for the first day. Let's rise up and
righteous apostle serving the Almighty. Come rally round that room. Rally round the justice sound. Cause I soon I must go down. And justice wear the crown. Justice be ready now.
Justice! Now read it!
So briefly, I'm going to touch on some of the Hebrew right here. A short audible right here of the Hebrew, and then bring forth Queen Makeda with the Clean Hands, new 2022.
Mizmor Kafdalet, Le David Mizmor, Ladonai Haaretz Umeloah, Tevel Veyosh Veva, Kihu Al Yamim Yesada, Veal Neharot Yechoneneha, Mi Yaale Vehar Adonai, Umi Yakum Bimkom Kocho, Neki Chapaim Uvar Levav, Asher Lo Nasa Lashav Nafshi, ולא נשבע למרמה. יישא ורחם מאת אדוני, וצדקה מאלוהי ישעוד. זה דור דורשיו, מבקשי פניך, יעקב, סלע. שאו שערים רעשיכם, והנשאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני עזוז וגיבור, אדוני גיבור מלחמה. שאו שערים רעשיכם, ושאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני צבאות, הוא מלך הכבוד. סלע, 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 סלע.
Yes, me, that reader right here, sister saying, Yahuwah, says to Adonai, our sister here, you know, brings forward to Hashem right here. So listen. Yes, Rastafari.
For my next number, I'd like to return to the classics.
Queen Makeda, Clean Hands, new 2022.
Yeah.
Who is this king of glory? Emperor Haile Selassie. He is the king of glory.
Who is this
locked in doors. And the King of Glory shall come in. And now we ask again, who is the King of Glory? Jah Rastafari, Emperor Haile Selassie. He is the King of Glory.
Who is the King of Glory?
Emperor Haile Selassie, Emperor of Ethiopia, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, conquering lion in the tribe of Judah. He makes up himself, light of the world.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What does Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Achad, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. What does that really mean? And why is it important, 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 important?
Baruch ata Adonai. Baruch Abba Yerushalayim. Baruch Atta Adonai.
Baruch Atta Adonai.
Baruch Abba Yerushalayim. Baruch Atta Adonai.
Just Rastafari.
Adonai.
Just
Adonai.
Just Rastafari.
Baruch Atta Adonai.
Baruch Atta Adonai.
Baruch Abba Yerushalayim.
Baruch
Atta Adonai.
Baruch Atta Adonai.
Baruch Abba Yerushalayim.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Adonai
Echad. Padamawi.
Inflatia.
The whole place is
doomed. Shema Yisrael, hear, hear, hear,
here, O Israel, here for the Shalishi, Aliyah, for this Shabbat, Shabbat Masa'eh, here picking up the fourth book of Moses, a Hebrew book called Numbers, Numbers chapter 33, here at verse 50, for the Shalishi, the third Aliyah of offering, up the third reading here for this Shabbat Masa'eh, here picking up with Numbers 33 at verse 50. Why Daber Yahweh El Moshe Bi Arbota Moab Ala Yardena Yerecho Lemor. And the Yahweh spake to Moshe in the plains of Moab by Jordan Yarden near Yericho Yerecho, saying, Lemor, the law of the possession of the land, the Torah, direction, instruction of the possession of the land. Verse 51, speak to the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Yisrael, and say to them, when ye, when y'all are passed over Yarden, Jordan, into the land of Canaan, then ye, y'all, shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places, and ye, y'all, shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it, to possess her. And ye all shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more ye y'all shall give the more inheritance. And to the fewer ye y'all shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers, ye y'all shall inherit. But if y'all will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye y'all let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye y'all dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do to you as I thought to do to them. Shema, hear, Shema Yisrael, give ear. Numbers chapter 34. Preparations to enter the land. And the Yahweh spake to Moshe, Moses, Lemor, saying, command the Bnei Yisrael, command the sons, the children of Yisrael, and say to them, when y'all come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coast thereof. Then your south quarter shall be from the Midbar, the wilderness of Zin, along by the coast of Edom. And your south border shall be the outmost coast of the salt sea eastward. And your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akrabim, and pass on to Zin. And the going forth thereof shall be from the south to Kadesh Barnea, and shall go on to Hazar Adar, and pass on to Azmon. And the border shall fetch a compass from Azmon to the river of Mitzrayim, to the river of Kemet, the river of Egypt, and the goings out of it shall be at the sea. And as for the western border, ye all shall even have the great sea for a border. This shall be your west border, and this shall be your north border. From the great sea ye all shall point out for you Har Hor, Mount Hor, and from Har Hor, Mount Hor, ye y'all shall point out your border to the entrance of Hamat, and the going forth of the border shall be to Zedad, and the border shall go on to Ziphron, and the goings out of it shall be at Hazar Enan. This shall be your north border. And ye, y'all, shall point out your east border from Hazar Enan to Shepham. And the coast shall go down from Shepham to Ribla on the east side of Ain. And the border shall descend and shall reach to the side of the sea of Kinneret eastward. And the border shall go down to Yarden, down to Jordan, and the goings out of it shall be at the salt sea. This shall be your land with the coast thereof round about. And Moses commanded the Bnei Yisrael lemor, saying, this is the land which ye, y'all, shall inherit by lot, which Yahweh Jehovah commanded to give to the nine tribes and to the half tribe. For the tribe of the Bnei Reuven, the sons, the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, their patriarchs, and the tribe of the Bnei Gad, the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, their patriarchs, have received their inheritance. And half of the tribe of Manasseh, have received their inheritance. The two tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side, Yarden, Jordan, near Jericho, eastward, toward the sunrise. And Shemar, give ear, hear, Shemar Yisrael, hear, hear, Shemar Yisrael, hear, for the Rabbi, Aliyah, the fourth reading, the fourth offering up, offering for this Shabbat Masa'eh. Hear, Numbers chapter 34, verse 16, for the Rabbi, the fourth reading, the fourth up offering, the fourth Aliyah. Vaydaber Yahweh el Moshe leimor, and the Yahweh spake to Moshe, Moses leimor, saying, Eil Shemot ha en Nashim asher yinahalu lakem et haaretz el azar hakohen v'Yahoshua bin Nun. These are the names. Eile Shemot. These, the names. Eile Shemot. These are the names of the men which shall divide the land to you. Eile Shemot. Ha Nashim Asher Yinahalu Lakem. Etah Aretz. Eleazar, the priest, and Yahoshua, the son of Nun, El Azar HaKohen, we Yahoshua bin Nun. And ye, y'all, shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance. And the Shemot, the names of the men, are these. Of the tribe of Yehuda, Kaleb, the son of Yefunneh. And of the tribe of the Bnei Simon, Simeon. Shemuel, the son of Amihud, of the tribe of Benjamin, Elidad, the son of Chislom, and the prince of the tribe of the Bnei Dan, the children of Dan, Buki, the son of Jogli, the prince of the Bnei Yosef, the children of Joseph, for the tribe of the Bnei Manasseh, the children, the sons of Manasseh, Kniel, the son of Ephod, and the prince of the tribe of the Bnei Ephraim, the sons of Ephraim, Kemuel, the son of Shiftan, and the prince of the tribe of the Bnei Zebulun, the sons of Zebulun, Eliezaphan, the son of Parnach, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Yisachar, the children of Yisachar, Paltiel, the son of Azan, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Asher, Ahihud, the son of Shalomi, and the prince of the tribe of the Bnei Naphtali, the sons of Naphtali, Pedahel, the son of Amihud. These are they whom Yahweh Jehovah commanded to divide the inheritance to the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, in the land of And Shema, hear, give ear right here. Fourth book of Moses, Hebrew book called Numbers, chapter 35. And hear, for the Chamishi, for the fifth reading, the Chamishi Aliyah, the fifth up offering for this Shabbat Masa'eh, Numbers chapter 35. The cities of refuge, the cities of refuge. Vaydaber Yahweh el Moshe be'arbota Moab ala Yarden Yerecho lemor. And Yahweh Jehovah spake to Moses in the plains of Moab by Yarden, by Jordan, near Yerecho Jericho lemor, saying, command the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Yisrael, that they give to Halloween, to the Levites of the inheritance of their possession, cities to dwell in. And ye all shall give also to Halloween, to the Levites, suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle, and for their goods, and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which ye shall give to Halloween shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And ye all shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the suburbs of the cities. And among the cities which ye all shall give to Halloween, to the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which ye all shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither there. And to them ye all shall add 42 cities. So all the cities which ye all shall give to Halloween, the Levites, shall be 48 cities. Them shall ye give with their suburbs. And the cities which ye all shall give shall be of the possession of the Bnei Yisrael, of the sons and children of Yisrael. From them that have many, ye all shall give many. But from them that have few, ye all shall give few. Everyone shall give of his cities to Halloween, the Levites, according to his inheritance, which he inherited.
Inherited.
Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, hear, 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 give ear. Shema, the Sheshi Aliyah, the sixth up offering, offering up the Sheshi Aliyah, the sixth reading here for this Shabbat Masai. Here picking up with the fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book called Numbers, Numbers chapter 35 and 9 for the Sheshi. Here, Numbers chapter 35 at verse 9 for the Sheshi, the sixth reading, the sixth Aliyah of offering, offering up for this Shabbat Masai, Sabbath journeys. Vaydaber Yahweh Moshe Leimor, and the Yahweh spake to Moshe, saying, Daver el bnei Yisrael, we amarta elehem, ki atem. Obarima eta hayardena arza kudnaan. Speak to the Bnei Yisrael, to the sons, the children of Yisrael, and say to them, when y'all be come over Yarden, Jordan, into the land of Canaan, then ye all shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, they are, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be to you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation, the aggregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye all shall give, six cities shall ye all have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side Yarden, this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye all give in the land of Canaan, in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Yisrael, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither, they are. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. He shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred or hurl at him by lying in wait that he die, or in enmity, hatred, smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation, the aggregation, shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation, the aggregation, shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation, the aggregation, shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither, where he was fled, and he shall abide in it to the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither, where he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment to you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer, shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, ye all shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. And ye all shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest, Ha-Kohen, the Kohen. So ye all shall not pollute the land wherein ye all are. For blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of Hadam, of the blood that is shed therein, but by Hadam, the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye all shall inhabit, wherein I dwell. Ki ani Yahweh, for I be he who be who he be, dwell among the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Yisrael.
Yisrael. Yisrael.
There's a lot of work to be done, oh gosh, the promised land of the land.
Hear, 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 Shema, give ear, and hear, 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 for the Shabi'i, Aliyah, the seventh reading, the seventh up offering, Aliyah, for this Shabbat, Shabbat Masa'ei, here, picking up with the fourth book of Moses, the Hebrew book, that is called Numbers, Numbers chapter 36, as to inheritance, and hear, 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 Shema, give ear, for the Shabi'i, Aliyah, the seventh Aliyah, reading, offering up, up offering, anaphora, for this Shabbat Masa'ei.
ויקרבו ראשי האבות למישה פחת בני גלעד בן מכיר בן מנשה מימישה פחות בני יוסף וידברו לפני משה ולפני הנשיאים, הנשיאים ראשי אבות Livne Israel.
And the chief fathers, patriarchs of the families of the children of Gilead, Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Yosef, came near.
Vayikrebu Rashe Ha'abot Le Misha Pachata Bene Gileada Ben Makir Ben Menashe.
And spake before Moses and before the princes, the chief fathers of the children, the chief fathers of the children of Yisrael.
Mishipachota b'nei Yosefa, why daveru, lifnei Moshe, we lifnei hanisim rashe abota libnei Yisrael.
And they said, Jehovah commanded
my Lord, vayomru et Adoni, v'iwah Yahweh.
And Jehovah commanded Adoni, my Lord, to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of children of Yisrael. And Adoni, my Lord, was commanded by Yahweh, by Jehovah, to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, to his daughters. And if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the Bnei Yisrael, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and shall be put to the inheritance of the tribe whereto they are received. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the Yolbelu, the Jubilee of the Bnei Yisrael, of the sons, the children of Yisrael shall be, then shall their inheritance be put to the inheritance of the tribe whereto they are received. So shall the inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers, our patriarchs. And Moshe commanded the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Israel, according to the word of Yahweh, Jehovah, Lemor, saying, the tribe of the sons of Yosef, Joseph, hath said, well, this is the thing, this is the thing, this is the thing which Yahweh, Jehovah, doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them, may them, make them marry to whom they think best. Only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. So shall not the inheritance of the Bnei Yisrael, the children, the sons of Israel, remove from tribe to tribe. For every one of the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of children of Israel, shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers, his patriarchs, and every daughter that possesseth an inheritance in any tribe of the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Yisrael, shall be wife, Isha, shall be Eshet, wife to one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Israel, may enjoy every man's inheritance of his fathers, of his patriarchs. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribes of the Bnei Yisrael shall keep himself to his own inheritance. And hear, for the Maftir for Shabbat Masa'eh, hear, at verse 10, the Maftir. Ka'asha siwa yawa eta moshe kein asu benota se lafachad. Even as Yahweh Jehovah commanded Moshe, Moses, Musa, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Mahla, Tirzah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married to their father's brother's sons. And they were married to the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Yosef, Joseph, and their inheritance remaineth in the tribe of the family of their father. These are the commandments and judgments which Yahweh Jehovah commanded by the hand of Moshe, of Moses, Musa, to Yisrael Joch, to the Bnei Yisrael, to the sons and children of Yisrael, in the plains of Moab, by Yarden, Jordan, near Jericho, Jericho. Kavur lekal, kavur ledimsu, kavur lechayl. Glory to the word, glory to the sound, glory to the power. Kavur labinu lemelkeinu, kavur lekadamal, chayl salasi, b'shem Yeshua HaMoshiach. Glory be to Inai Father, Inai King. Glory be to the first power of the Trinity. In the name of Jesus Christos, Yeshua HaMoshiach, Isis, I. Chazak, we need to chazik. Yes, I. Fulfilling this fourth book, you say, Chazak, be strong, Wenita Chazik, and make I and I be encourage one another, may I and I be strengthened. Chazak, Wenita Chazik.
There's a lot of work to be done, oh God, give the promise.
Baruch Ata Adonai.
Just Rastafari.
Baruch Ata Yahweh Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Natan Lanu Torah Amen. Vayei olam metei v'tokanu. Baruch ata Yahweh noten ha-Torah Sheinah.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadash Aliyot. 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 Aliyot.
New York, Massive, are you ready?
I wanna hear it, say yes. I wanna hear it, say yes.
Uptown, Massive, are you ready?
I wanna hear it, say yes. I wanna hear it, say yes.
Shalom, my brother, shalom, my sister, shalom, shalom. I give you love, I give you peace, shalom, 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 my brother, shalom, my sister, shalom, shalom. I give you love, I give you peace, shalom, shalom. That's my honor.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadash Aliyot. 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 Aliyot.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar B'Nebiim Tobim Veratzah B'Debrehim Hane'amarim Ba'emet. Baruch atah Adonai Habocher B'Torah U'Moshe Abdo ובישראל עמו, ובנביאי האמת והצדק. Blessed art thou, Adonai, Eloheinu, eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art thou, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad,
Adonai Echad, Adonai.
Book of the Prophets, Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 3. Besema Abba let Mephesa Kadus Hadumak. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of Yahweh Buruhu came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Yehuda, in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Yehuda, to the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the Bane High Josiah, Nugus Yehuda, to the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of Yahweh Buruhu came to me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, sovereign Yahweh Buruhu, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But Yahweh said to me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith Yahweh Buruhu. Then Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and Yahweh said to me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of Yahweh Buruhu came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree.
Then said Yahweh to me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of Yahweh Eloku came to me a second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then Yahweh said to me, Out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith Yahweh, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering in of the gate of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Yehuda. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, kafat, who have forsaken me and have burned Isaac to other Elohim, and worship the works of their own hand. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak to them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, and brassen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Yehuda, against the princes thereof, against the priests, the Kohen thereof, and against the people of the land. All they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith Yahweh Buruku, to deliver thee. Chapter 2. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, Uruku, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousal, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the midbar, in the land that was not sown. Yisrael was holiness to Yahweh, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devoured him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith Yahweh, Uruku. Amen.
Put off thy shoes from off thy feet.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 4 to verse 28, and chapter 3, verse 4. That's a ma'aba wa let my fellow produce a hadu amlak. Hear ye the word of Yahweh, O house of Yisrael, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Yisrael. Thus saith Yahweh, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is Yahweh, Buruku, that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought, and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof, and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land, and made mine heritage an abomination. The Kohen, the priest, said not, Where is Yahweh, Uruku? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith Yahweh Buruku, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Kittim, and see, and send to Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Have a nation changed their Elohim, which are yet no Elohim? But my people have changed their glory for that which doeth not profit.
Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith Yahweh. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also, the children of Noah and Tahpanhes have broken the crown of thy head. Hast thou not procured this to thyself, and that thou hast forsaken Yahweh the Elohim, and he led thee by the way? And now, what hast thou to do in the way of Edom, to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken Yahweh that Elohim Buruku, and that my fear is not in thee, saith Hagea Yahweh Zabaoth Buruku. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy a ripe seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine to me? For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Master Yahweh Buruku. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaim. See thy way in the valley, know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary, traversing her way, a wild ass used to the wilderness, that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. For thou saidest, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. As a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Yisrael ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back to me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. But where are thy Elohim that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy Elohim, O Yehuda. Chapter 3, verse 4. Wilt thou not from this time cry to me, my father? Thou art the guide of my youth.
Yeah. your night, gone on another flight. While some can't see the light, in the street, blood with gun. In a broad day, the puppet wants to cut me down. We stand firm up on solid ground. They couldn't take my crown. When situation arise, call unto the Father. In times like these, when things get harder, you better believe that only the Father can set the order. When situation arise, call unto the Father. In times like these, when things get harder, you better believe that only the Father can set the order. With a yada bit, talking with you, I take it no more. It's like them one, they get to you, them die for hunger and poor. This a situation is a storm. Who's gonna find the cure? No matter how me step in it, clean and pure, separation, no partial, it's still enough from me door. Why do you tell you them life not secure, not secure? When situation arise, call unto the Father. It's times like this when things get harder. You better believe that only the Father can set the order. When situation arise, call unto the Father. It's times like this when things get harder. You better believe that only the Master can set the order. So many rivers to cross, to cross the crocodile when you are walk. Them waves it down like harbor sharks. Open your eyes when you are walk. So many snakes and that grass. So when you reach at the crossroads, these are a few early. You don't know where to turn. Stand firm and stay focused. Jah is beside us. Jah will show you where to go. When situation arise, call unto the Father. In times like these, when time gets harder, you better believe that only the Master can set the order. When situation arise, call unto the Father. In times like these, when time gets harder, you better believe that only the Master can set the order. Talking with you and take it no more. It's like them want to get to you. Life of hunger and poor. This a situation is a storm. Who's gonna find the cure? No matter how we step in it, clean up your separation, no partial. It's still a knock from the door. Why did you tell you them life not secure? Not secure. When situation arise, call unto the Father. It sounds like this when time gets harder. You better believe that only the Master can set the order. When situation arise, call unto the Father. It sounds like this when time gets harder. You better believe that only the Master can set the order. When situation arise, call unto the Father. In times like these, when time gets harder, you better believe that only the Master can set the order. When situation arise, call unto the Father. In times like these, when time gets harder, you better believe that only the Master can set the order. Boom.
Tune for the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadash Aliyot. Aliyot. Aliyot.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Asher Natan Lanu Moshiach Yeshua Wehabarot Shel Habarit HaChadasha. Baruch Ata Adonai Notain Habarit HaChadasha. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the Universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad.
The Brit Chadasha Chadis Kidan Renewed Covenant Reading for RSS number 42, Matot, and number 43, Maaseh, Tribes, Journeys. From the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verse 33 through 37, and the Epistle of James, chapter 4, verse 1 through 12. We begin, B'Shem Ha'ab, Wehabain, Weruach HaKadosh, Yahuwah Ahad, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who He be, the One. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, Lamed Gimel, verse 34, Lamed Dalet, verse 35, Lamed He. Od Shemaitem, ki ne'amar la'rishonim. Lo tishabal la shakar veshalem leyaoa shibuateka wa ani omer lakem lo tishabal ko shibua lo bashmaim ki kiseya elohim hema velo baaretz ki hadom raglayu hiya velo beyarushalayim Again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform to Yahuwah thine oaths. But I say to you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is Elohim's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. James chapter 4, part 3. The Rebuke of Worldliness, verse 1, Aleph, verse 2, Beit, verse 3, Gimel. Hamilchamot vehamdanim asher b'neikim me'ayin hema halo mitok hataot hamit garot be'ebarekim Atim, mitawim, we'ain lakim, tirashu utknau, we'haseg, lo, tasigu, taribu, we'tilachamu, we'ain lakim, mifne shela shaltim, hein shalim atim, we'lo yinatin lakim, al asher shaltim, be'ra'a, lima'an t'palu, bet'awotekim. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with Elohim? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of Elohim. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, Elohim resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to Elohim. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to Elohim, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that thou judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if Yahweh will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Kaburulakalu, Kaburuladimtu, Kaburulakhailu, Kaburulakedamawi, Haile Selassie, be Jesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
Yes, yes, yes. Chazak, chazak. Be strong, be strong. We need chazak. We need chazak. Make we strength and encourage. We need chazak. Strengthen and encourage one another. Here, here, completing fourth book of Moses, a Hebrew book that is called Numbers by Midbar. Here, here. Yes, I look at meditation. Oh. Yes, yes, yes. First day Sunday, little iteration there. That was Art of Noise, Moments in Love. A rare version right there. Chazak, chazak, we need to chazak again. Be strong, be strong. Make I and I strengthen and encourage one another. So here, here, Sabbath Seal song right here. First day, first day. Yes, I enough going on right here. The double portion, taking local iteration. But here, as we have fulfilled the Sabbath, the Shabbat, and proceeding here to the first day, right here, and a new Shabuah, also to a new Torah reading and feeding, fifth book of Moshe. Here's what it said from the liturgy of His Divine Majesty, Kedamah HaLaslasti Kedase, here on the first day, the Sunday, the Ehud. Ehud, first day, Melkam Ehud. Good first day, beautifully good first day. Shabuah Tov, and a good strong seven. A good week. But the Shabua is the strong, sabbatically, yes, I.
Sosenya be'elete hud yemibal. Said on Sundays, the first day. Sidkin yasara senvetina yakabram sohulu sadikno. Wada ekziaviheram lukota yegeba. Kamitmanana yilayanya yohona fetchmuaybel. Sidkin yasara. Senvetin yakabram so hulu sadikno. Blessed is he who does truth and honors the Sabbath. Let him not question whether he would be outcast from the multitudes if he was to enter into the worship of the sustainer, Ekaziaber Cha Astafari. Blessed is he who does truth, righteousness, and honors the Sabbath, the Senvet.
So right here, 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 from the seventh day to the first day, Psalm 144, Sabbath Seal, a baraka, a blessing, word, sound, and power of prosperity and increase for the new Shabuah, the new seventh.
Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Interesting where you hear that ancient Sabbath seal. So when the Sabbath is fulfilled, that psalm rides up. So like Saturday after day and going to the evening, you know, beginning the first day, that song, I rise up, that chant, that blessing right there teaches my hands to war. They say that this is another form of warfare, but just an interesting theme, even right here, Chabarim, with this double portion here, and also looking at the land, concerning the preparation for the land. But here, another psalm as well, Psalm 67, as it has a rephrasing of the priestly blessing for Jah people in the opening verses, Psalm 67.
Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Shall fear him, 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 shall fear him.
Medi on the context of the psalm right here, cause your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known in the earth. In other words, we are important to Yahweh being known in the earth, so let his presence, his perception, his face, his point of view, his perception, the way he sees it, shine upon I and I so we can walk it out. Right here, in the favorite tune of I and I, Eleni right here, bless one right there after Psalm 144 and Psalm 67, Sabbath seal, beginning a new Shabu, a new strong right here. Yeah,
that's up for your phone, you don't know it's Love Star Music, all right.
So we're not afraid, no, we're not for worry. We be.
Yes, yes, yes. The word, the word, the word. This Torah reading and feeding. Yes, yes, yes. This Torah reading and feeding right here begins off with vows. The main theme right here, because there's a lot of, as I said, a lot of moving parts and everything, although we see it as moving together, together. It begins off the theme of the vow. The vow. What is a vow? The word. Word is bond. The word. And as we follow it through, we can see some interesting revelations concerning the word, even that tune right there by Eleni. You know, speak a thing. You know what you speak, the words. You know, we're creating with our words. In the beginning was the word. And not just the word, just like the word spoken, but the intent. Words of eye and eye mouth, meditation of eye and eye heart, as we find within Psalm 19. Favorite Ayabingi word sound right there, made a real, real impression amongst I and I from, you know, I and I Rastafari youth, you know, so we share that with the youth to come forward right there, words of I and I mouth, and the meditation, the intent of the heart when the word is spoken, the word is given. So we have vows, it picks up on vows. A couple of interesting things about vows. That a daughter's vow, you know, now the vow is connected with offerings concerning the sanctuary, you know, as it says, to afflict one's soul, right? And if a daughter makes a vow, the father hears about it in the same day that he hears it, not afterward, he can't think about it for a couple of days and then flip-flop, no. And if he cancels it, then he disannuls it. If a woman, right, who is married, who has her husband can disannul the vow. But notice that a woman who is a widow, you know what I mean, or unmarried in a sense, it's just as a man, that when we give our word, we keep our word. Then the Brit Hadasha, it was interesting, give thanks, Sinai co-laborers, Ras Ayasin Tefari, as well as Ras Sahar Tefari, for the read of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 3, and Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 4 to chapter 28. Then we have chapter 3, verse 4. I think the Ashkenazi, they read that chapter 4, but I think the Sephardi actually read from verse 1 to verse 4. Just a note for I and I in the future, right there. But here, looking at chapter 32, just a couple of brief words right here, you know, like get the moral of the double portion right here. We look at it with the word and what is spoken in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, focus verses 33 to 37, as well as James or Jacob, Yaakov, James chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. We see the string that connects all these pearls of wisdom, right, is concerning the word. Right, concerning the word, concerning the vow, in the beginning was the word. So we have Numbers chapter 32 right here at verse 23, a very interesting verse right here where it says, but if y'all will not do so. So here Moshe is speaking to 2.5 of the tribes, Reuben and Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, right, concerning, you know, their vow to go forth before the children of Israel to help the other tribes, the 9.5 tribes, to gain their land. So we get to learn a couple of interesting things right here, that the number of the tribes of Israel at this particular point of the narrative is 13, that only 9.5 got land rights or inheritance title to land within the land grant, according to the dimensions and borders so stipulated here. But we have 2.5, right? 2.5, so do the math, you know, 9, 10, right, 11, right, the 2 there, you got the 9, and then remember, Levi is a tribe, but it's not included in the number. So that's where we get the 13 from. But anyway, these 2.5 tribes says, you know, we will not return to our houses until the children of Israel, the other sons, their brothers, had inherited every man his inheritance. They said they will go forth before Yahuwah, before Jehovah. In other words, be the strike force even before the Ark of the Covenant. You know, when we look at a on-the-ground formation,
What does that mean? They will go before Jehovah. They'll go before even the Ark of the Covenant and before the priests. They will be that advance guard, right? They say, for we will not inherit with them on the other side of Jordan. Notice that when Jordan, the Jordan is mentioned, it doesn't say the Jordan River. That's our earlier point concerning location and geography and where they say what place is today. But they say here, according to the scripts, Numbers chapter 32, verse 19, that they, speaking for Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh. Now, as we zoom forward, these are the first tribes, right, to go into captivity. Check, check. First tribes. Did they keep their word? No, they did not. But they said, for we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance, they decided their inheritance was outside of the promised land. Sounds familiar? Is fallen to us on this side, Jordan, eastward. Once again, Jordan or Jordan, we'll find it here in the Torah and also in the Hebrew. It says Jordan, right? So are we talking about the river, or are we talking about a mountain range or a particular geographic region? That no doubt there's a river there, but the Jordan is bigger than the river. So here. With the seventh aliyah for the Matot, picks up with Numbers chapter 32, verse 20, where it says, and Moses, Moshe, said to them, if, here's a clause, a conditional, right? Some say unconditional, but we see these conditions, albeit some very gracious, some may not be so, but here, this gracious condition, if they gave their word, if ye, y'all, will do this thing that they have said they would do. Notice the subject matter at the beginning of this is about vows, right? And notice that for a daughter in her father's house or a woman who is the wife of a husband, her vow could be disannulled. But for a man or for a divorced woman or a woman of another status, one's word is their bond. But here we get these sons of Israel, Reuben and Gad and half-tribe, saying they would do this thing. So Moses says, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before Yahuwah, Jehovah, Latzaba, to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan, Lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah, until he have driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before Lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah, then afterward, check, afterward, right, y'all shall return and be guiltless before Jehovah. So note, this word that they gave, right, this is a vow. They basically vowed. So we both get the direction instruction, the Torah, the Torot, the direction instruction here, right, and then we get a case study. So we have a case study of this, and then as we look forward in the narrative, what would happen even later on with those tribes being the first to go into captivity. And the land be subdued before Jehovah, then afterward, y'all shall return and be guiltless before Jehovah and before Yisrael, Yasharallah. And this land shall be your possession, Lifnei Yahuwah. But here's an interesting verse, 32:23. Here we see in Numbers, looking at the Numbers, 32:23 is like a mirror image. Chapter 32, verse 23 says, but if you all will not do so, behold, look and see, y'all have sinned. Y'all have chata'ah, like to miss the mark, fallen short. You've ucked up against Jehovah, and be sure your sin will find you out. Very, very interesting, this verse, your sin will find you out. Where else do we have this? I see a note right here for Isaiah chapter 59 and 12. Let's go here for a moment. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 12. What do we have here? Chapter 59, verse 12, right? And it says right here, 59:12, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins, our uckery, falling short, missing the mark, testify, bear witness against us. For our transgressions are with us,
And as for our iniquities, we know them. Let me make a note right here. Some people think that sin and transgression is the same thing. No, it's not. But they are, you know, it's like in a legal case, things are not the same charge, but they may be related. They may link together, right? But sin and transgression is not mutually exchangeable. I know what it says in Romans right there. We'll touch on that, you know, where there's no law, there's no transgression, right? But that transgression there, even in the New Testament, is a different sense. There's no going over something. If there's no, like, if you don't draw no line, then, you know, you could keep moving forward. You're not crossing anything. But once there's a line there, like once they gave their word and didn't keep their word, right, they had fallen short. They missed what they said to do. But if John says only the priests go in here and you go in there or you go beyond what is your duty or your call or what you said to do, that is transgressing. That's like going beyond. But here it says this. It says, we know them. But this verse here, your sin will find you out. You know, we've just heard that a lot, especially in Christianity and churches. I hear a lot of old time folks, you know, maybe not so much today, haven't heard it so much today, but it's one of those phrases, your sin will find you out. And while studying the scripts here, the Torah, and coming across this verse, where we came across it in connection with what is connected, it was interesting. Because that wasn't necessarily the sense that, you know, when you hear Christians say, oh, your sin will find you out, you know. But notice the context here, what Moses is saying. Y'all, Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, y'all had given your word to do something, right? If you do what you said, you're going to be guiltless before Jehovah and Israel, and the land is yours. So that means if they didn't do this, then they're on that land, so they were illegally on that land in Jah's eyes. But he says here in 32:23, but if y'all will not do so, behold, you have sinned, you have fallen short. You've given your word, right, and now you've fallen short, right, against Jehovah. Notice the verse before it says you'll be guiltless before Jehovah and before Israel. But in the next verse it says y'all will have sinned if you don't do what you said by your word, the word of your mouth, meditation of your heart. Y'all have sinned, ucked up, fallen short, missed the mark against Jehovah, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now that's the English, right? From a Hebrew perspective, understand the word sin, right, to be like missing the mark, like falling short. And so if you're hitting something, you miss it. So lacking and missing, like, you know, caught lacking. You will have been caught lacking against Jehovah, and know that your lack will find you out because of what you miss and fail to do. That failure to do so will be what will catch you, right? What will find you out. But let's go through this right here, looking at the time right here, from the time that we have. There was an interesting reason, man, just to share this on this particular topic and subject matter concerning the Nedarim. The Neda is a vow, Nedarim. But just check with Romeinu, I and I, Rabbi Yeshua HaMashiach, what he gives us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37, right? Here we have Rabbi Akiva had taught that vows, Nedarim, are a fence. It's like a fence. The vows are a fence. Giving your word, your yay, yay, to do something, or your nay, nay, not to do something, is like a fence to self-restraint, is a fence to, one may say, self-control or to self-discipline. But the Yerushalayim Talmud, the Jerusalem Talmud, not the Babylon, but the Jerusalem Talmud, it asks whether it was not enough that HaTorah, that the Torah, had forbidden us things that we should seek to forbid yet other things to ourselves. So a question, since, you know, was it enough that the Torah, wasn't enough the Torah had already forbidden us certain things that we should then forbid ourselves additional things? The Jerusalem Talmud, the Nedarim on the vows 9 and 1. Now the Gemara, the more fuller study of the Torah, right, it discouraged vows. So we have like the Mishnah, the Talmud is like basic teaching.
right? Ancient teaching where other sages and scholars of Torah taught, you know, as points of reference for students, and there's different Talmuds, different teachings from different times and different sages. You have the Mishnah, the basic study, right? And then you also have like the Gemara, the more full and complete, like Gemar, like to fulfill in that sense, has a sense of fullness, the more complete teaching, right? It discourages vows, as Rabbeinu Yeshua as well. Rabbi Nathan taught that one who vows is as if he built a high place. And he who fulfills a vow is as if he sacrificed on that high place. But the Gemara, the fuller teaching deduced that from Rabbi Nathan's teaching, that is meritorious. It's good to seek absolution from vows, you know, like to cancel vows. This is from the Babylonian Talmud, Nedarim 22a and 59a, something to reason on, right? We have Torah here, and we listen to, you know, what other scholars, you know, other ones have said, and find the truth for ourselves. The Mishnah here, it taught that HaTorah, the law, the Torah, direct instruction of dissolution of vows, it hovers in the ear. The law, the direction of the dissolution of vows, Nedarim, hovers in the ear and has nothing on that to rest in the biblical text. Now, others said that Rav Yehuda said that Samuel, Shemuel, found the scriptural basis for the Torah, the direction, the instruction of the dissolution of vows in the very words that we have in Numbers chapter 30, verse 3. Because, you know, it doesn't say how a man's vow. It doesn't speak to a man's vow. It's taking that if a man vows, listen to Yahuwah to afflict his soul, he should do it, right? But others reason on, well, you know, there's something about this that we need to investigate. So in investigating Numbers chapter 30, verse 3, where it says he, emphasis on he, shall not break his word. And some deduce from this that this teaches that he, the vower, may not break the vow, but perhaps others might dissolve it for him. A reasonment here. Rabbi Bar Hana told of how an Arab, an Arabian merchant, took him to see Mount Sinai, where, this is interesting because Sinai really is in Arabia, not the Sinai Peninsula, but Rabbi Bar Hana told of how an Arabian merchant took him to see Har Sinai, where he saw scorpions surrounded, and they stood like white donkeys. Now, Rabbi Bar Hana, he heard a Kolbat, the heavenly voice, right, or the daughter of the voice, which is called like the heavenly voice, expressing regret about making an oath and asking who would annul the oath. When Rabbi Bar Hana came before the Rebbanim, the other scholars of Torah, they told him that he should have annulled the oath. But Rabbi Bar Hana thought that perhaps it was the oath in connection with the flood, where in Genesis 8 and 21, Elohim promised never to destroy the world again with another flood. The Rebbanim, the scholars of Torah, they replied that if that had been the oath, the heavenly voice, the Kolbat, right, the daughter of the voice, would not have expressed regret, that if that was the case, that the daughter of the voice or the heavenly voice would not have expressed regret. Now, Rabbah employed the verse Numbers 30 and 3 to interpret Exodus 32:11. So Rabbah took Numbers 30 and 3 to interpret, to do a targum on Exodus 32:11 that says, "And Moshe besought, wa yahal, Yahuwah Elohayo, Jehovah his power, in connection with the incident of the Egel Masecha, the molten calf." Now, Rabbi noted that Exodus chapter 32:11, it uses the word besought, wa yahal, while Numbers 30 and 3, it uses a similar term, yahel, to break, in connection with vows. Now, transferring the use of Numbers chapter 30, verse 3 to Exodus 32:11, Rabbah reasoned that Exodus 32:11 meant that Moshe stood in prayer Lifnei Elohim, before Elohim, until Moshe annulled for Elohim, Elohim's vow to destroy Yasharallah, Yisrael. For a master had taught that while people cannot break their vows, others may annul their vows for them. Similarly, Rabbi Berechiah taught in the name of Rabbi Chelbo, in the name of Rabbi Isaac, that Moshe absolved Elohim of Elohim's vow. When the Israelites made the molten calf, falsely called the golden calf, Moshe began to persuade Elohim to forgive them, but Elohim explained to Moshe that Elohim had already taken an oath in Exodus 22:19 that, quote, he who sacrifices to other Elohim should be utterly destroyed. And Elohim could not retract the oath. Moses responded by asking whether Elohim had not granted Moses the power to annul oaths in Numbers 30:3 by saying, when a man vows a vow to Jehovah or swears an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. Implying that while he himself could not break his word, a scholar could absolve his vow. So Moshe wrapped himself in his cloak, adopted the posture of a sage, and Elohim stood before Moshe as one asking for the annulment of a vow, a reasonment. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai had taught that just as the text in Numbers 30:3 says, he shall not break his word, and also in Ecclesiastes 5:3 it says, defer not to pay it, applied to vows, nedarim, so they also applied to valuations, or what's called in the translation, estimation. And thus Moshe exhorted the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, in Leviticus 27:7, when a man shall clearly utter a vow of persons to Jehovah according to your valuation, according to your estimation. So we have right here Leviticus Rabbah. Leviticus Rabbah right here, 37:2. Brief summary right here. Maimonides, in looking at this parasha here, he only found one negative command. You know, there we have negative commandments, thou should not do, and positive commandments, thou shalt do. The one negative commandment that the great sage Maimonides found was in Numbers 30:3, not to transgress in matters that one has forbidden oneself. So bringing out this sense of vows in Numbers 30:3, the moral here is not to transgress in matters that one has forbidden oneself. Paul says something like that, like what one has forbidden oneself. Like if you forbid yourself, like don't forbid yourself that if you think you're reliable to do that. So don't transgress in matters that you have forbidden yourself. According to the Sefer HaChinuch, right, another ancient document, it looks at this Torah, the first part of the double portion, as having one positive and one negative commandment. What is that? Numbers 30:3 and Numbers 30:3. That both Numbers 30:3 is looked at as being a positive and a negative command. The positive, right, we have the precept, right, of the law of nullifying vows. Thou shalt, in the situation, do. That we also have that we should not break our word in vows that we make. So both we have in Numbers 30:3, both the positive side of the vow as well as the negative side of the vow. Just zooming ahead right here to the second part, Masa A, which is the 10th. Right. Let's look at Maimonides, Moses Maimonides. Right. According to Maimonides and the Sefer HaChinuch, the cipher of like the Chinuch come from like Hanok, like to be instructed, to be learned, to be initiated. Right. There are two positive in the Masa'eh and four negative commandments. What are they? In Numbers 35:2, to give the Levite cities to inhabit and the surrounding field. Positive command, do it, right? Here we also have in Numbers 35:12, not to kill the murderer before he stands trial. In Numbers 35 and 25, the court, the Beit Din, right, the Beit, the house of Din of the judgment, must send the accidental murderer or manslayer, right, to a city of refuge, a sanctuary city. Numbers 35 and 30, that a witness in a trial for capital crime should not speak in judgment. That a witness in a trial for a capital crime should not speak in judgment. Numbers 35, 31, not to accept monetary restitution to atone for the murderer. And finally, in Numbers 35, 32, not to accept monetary, a ransom, monetary restitution, instead of being sent to a city of refuge. So that means that one know they have to go to the city of refuge. They may try to kind of like buy their way out. You know, just zooming in right here on the importance of the vows right here, a little Sabbath table chat right here in summary, yes, I, Shema Yisrael.
Korban, the continual offering, the korban. Bamarinya, we say like the korban, the korban, the korban. So here at the last less than half, and I were here on the podcast. Let's go over a couple of basics right here. Just review Shabbat table talk right here. A sabbatical chat here. So we have a double portion. Had a double portion. Matot Masai. Matot refers to the Negadoch, the tribes, the Negadoch, and Masai to the journeys. Bamarinya, the guzo. So in the previous sabbatical, the previous Shavua, the Torah portion was, we had Phinehas, right, or Pinchas, Pinchas, Phinehas, Phi Nahas. And that ended with the description of the central sacrifice, the central offering required at the tabernacle, namely the daily sacrifice of a defect-free male lamb, a male lamb. In the Hebrew, the Seh, Bamarinya, we have Beg, right, Beg, the defect-free male lamb with unleavened bread and wine. And this is referred to as the korban, tamid, the continual offering, the korban. Bamarinya, we say like the korban, tamid. In addition to this special daily offering, various sacrifices for Shabbat and other feasts and festivals in the Hebraic, the Israelite, the holy year, were also specified. Now, this Torah portion, the first part of the double portion, Matot, it begins with Moses instructing the Roshe, right? The Rases, Rosh in Hebrew, Ras, Bamarinya, Ethiopic, Ris, but the heads, the Roshe of the Matot of Yisrael, the tribes of Israel, regarding the laws, direction, instructions of the Nedarim, the vows and the making of vows. Now, what is a Nedar? A Nedar, a vow, is either to do something or to abstain from doing something. Either the vow may be to do something or to abstain from doing something. This is regarded as binding, lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah, be'egziyavi herfit, in the presence of the sustainer. Though it could be annulled in certain limited circumstances and situations. For example, a father of the family, an Ab of the Beit Ab, a father, Ab, of the Beit, house of Ab, which is a term for family, the Beit Ab. A father has authority to annul the vow of his daughter, and a husband, the vow of Ishto, of his Oset, of his wife, if he does so within the 24 hours or so of hearing the vow's declaration. Jehovah then commanded Moses to take vengeance upon the Midianites. Why? For their role in plotting the moral destruction of Israel. You may have heard it said in the New Testament of the doctrine of Balaam. Well, this is what it was. In other words, they sent their woman upon the sons of Israel, right, to morally defile them. In other words, for them to get caught up with the woman of the loose woman of the Midianites, so that after they got all caught up, then the men would feel strong enough to kill us. Well, that didn't work out thanks to Phinehas and his zeal. So Jehovah commanded Moses to take vengeance upon the Midianites. It's kind of interesting. It's the same thing that's going on nowadays, but pick up on that a little bit more. Jehovah then commanded Moses to take vengeance upon the Midianites for their role in the moral destruction of Israel, the demoralization of Israel, through the evil counsel of Balaam of Beor, led by Phinehas 12,000 Israelite warriors, 1,000 from each tribe. Now, we noticed this number there, and we didn't connect the dots with the cover and the guest until we heard it again. It's a chant. Didn't Solomon, command 1,000 from each of the 12 tribes to accompany David II, Ben Hakim, Baina Lechem, a.k.a. Menelik? Right? They attacked and killed every male Midianite, including the arch enemy, Balaam, the preacher, the pastor for hire, and the five kings of Midian. I guess that brings a new Hebrew perspective to Kol Medina. When the victorious Israelites, the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, returned to the camp, they took with them, after killing the men, they took the Midianite woman, children and cattle and other possessions as the spoils of war, or what's called the booty. No pun intended, or perhaps. But anyway, Moses was not happy about this. Why? He reprimanded the officers for keeping the woman alive. Why? Since they were the cause of the plague on the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, in the first place. I mean, think about this for a moment. The men of the Midianites didn't just want to fight us, but they said, this people is protected by Jah because they still are in a covenant agreement. They're still connected with Source. But if we can demoralize them, so they, in a sense, sacrificed their woman, sent their woman to commit whoredom with the sons of Israel, so that when we will be in a weakened moral condition, the men would feel justified, or maybe that would amp them up to then, you know, fight. Moses, therefore, he ordered that all the Midianite prisoners of war were to be executed, except for 16,000 virgin girls, girls that did not know man sexually. The warriors, unclean by contact with the dead. So when one man say, a warrior, well, there's times being a warrior, you're unclean by contact with the dead. Because as a warrior, what are you doing if you're a real warrior, right? They were then required to stay outside the camp. These are rules of engagement and war laws. They were required to stay outside the camp for 7 days to undergo ritual purification. So after the war, according to John's direction and instruction, the soldiers, the warriors, have to purify before they go home to their family and to the community. The spoils of war was then divided equally between the warriors on the one hand and the entire congregation, the aggregation, on the other hand. It's interesting because David does something similar. Right, some of the men that went forward to reclaim what was taken by these other ites, these other tribes, when they came back, the men that came back with him, the warriors, said that we shouldn't give anything to the men who stayed back watching the home front. And David brought forward the spirit of this word here, that the spoils of war were then equally divided between the warriors on one hand, those who went forth, and those who were on the homeland security, the home front, the entire congregation that stayed behind on the other hand. The soldiers, grateful for their miraculous victory. Why? Why was it a miraculous victory? Because not a single Israelite was killed. They contributed 1/50 of their spoils to the Levites. Halloween. That means by giving to the Levites, they were giving to Jah. To the Levites, and made an additional free will offering at the Mishkan, at the Deptera in the Ge'ez, at the Tabernacle. The tribes of Reuben and Gad, as we touched on, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, they then asked to settle in the pasture land of Gilead on the east of the Jordan, since they had large herds of cattle. At first, Moshe, he hotly disapproved of their request, since he was very concerned, worried, or even one may say feared, that the other tribes would lose heart if these tribes stayed behind during the conquest of the Canaan. However, when the tribal leaders made a vow, remember, we began off here in my thought with the principles of the Nedarim, the vows. The tribal leaders made a vow to join the fight while their families remained in Gilead, and therefore Moshe finally agreed. So that's a kind of synopsis, an overview for I-9 sabbatical, we could say, chat. Looking at the time, got 15 or so minutes. Let's see if we can touch on this right here. I'd like to get in some particulars, but let's just scroll forward to Masa'e, to the journeys of Guzo. So in the previous Matot, that ended with the Israelites camped east of the Jordan River, near the plains of Moab, ready to finally enter the Promised Land. And we point to Moab and the Moors. Many of the Moors say there's a Moab connection. And it's interesting that in the 20s and 30s, some of the black Jews, they identified themselves as Moorish Jews after the coronation of the King of Kings that became the Commandment Keepers, Ethiopian Hebrews. They are ready to finally enter the Promised Land. In addition, in anticipation of their return to land. Now, Masa'e, it begins with Moses recounting 42 sites that the sons of Israel, the Bnei Yisrael, stayed during their 40 years of wandering in the desert, in the Midbar, the wilderness, from their first camp after the Exodus, interestingly enough, that first camp was called what? Sukkot. Sukkot. In other words, it was called booths or tabernacles. To the current encampment that was across the river from the land of Canaan, across the river, the Jordan River. After recounting the various stations of the journey, Ha'el, the power of the Almighty, Ha'el, Ha'elohim, Ha'elohim, said that when the Israelites crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, they were to drive out all the inhabitants and utterly destroy all trace of their culture and religion. I know this seems harsh nowadays, but interestingly enough, the word inheritance, or at least to inherit in the sense of the Israelites, it has that sense, either to drive them out physically or to impoverish them financially. So there's two ways it can be done. It can be done by war. It can be done by economics. Therefore, business is another form of warfare. After this, the land will be divided by lot according to the tribes of Israel, based on the size of each tribe. So therefore, a tribe that was a big tribe, they got more inheritance. A tribe that was a small tribe, they got less inheritance according to their size. Ha'elohim, Ha'elohim, the power then warned Moshe, warned Moses, that if the Israelites would not drive out the inhabitants of the land, they would become a snare. Those inhabitants that they did not drive out would become a snare to them. Often I look at the Middle East so-called situation, I say, chant. Those are all the descendants of the people that we did not drive, our ancestors didn't drive out then. And Ha'elohim would then judge and exile the Israelites as the 400 years here and there, as he intended to do to the Canaanites. So that really shows that there was a prior relationship of the Almighty even with all nations, but especially the Canaanites. Note, note, check, check. The Israelites are not Canaanites. Some goofy folks, even some goofy black scholars are talking that shite. The boundaries of the promised land were then given in Numbers chapter 34, verses 1 to 10. We can say the promised land or the land grant. The land grant. Note that these borders are not the same as those described earlier to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 to 21. See, here we return, right, to the Abrahamic promise that Bereshith, you know, that Genesis spoke of, even in the New Covenant sense. But you'll note that the land grant in Numbers chapter 34, 1 to 10, is not the same as those given earlier to Abraham from the river of Ethiopia, the river of Ethiopia, the river of Egypt, to the river of Euphrates. That includes Ethiopia, of course, and even the state of Israel. Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 to 21. Since the larger land area would be given to Israel after HaMoshiach, after the Messiah, after the King Messiah returns to restore Zion during the millennial kingdom. This is the dispensation we're in right now. According to Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 15, to Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. Instead, the promised land is restricted to, quote, the land of Canaan according to its borders. This is often referred to as the Palestinian covenant. In Numbers chapter 34, verses 2 to 13. That is, to the local region occupied by the seven Canaanite nations living there at the time of the conquest under Yehoshua, under Joshua. The Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, the sons of Israel, were then instructed to assign towns with surrounding pasture lands to the Levites and were to be a total of 42 towns. So something about this 42, those 42 encampments, and the Levites would have 42 towns chosen by lots and distributed throughout the land according to the size of each tribe. It's interesting because in ancient Egypt, there were 42 sacred precincts. Just a little note there. In addition, six more cities were to be given to the Levites and designated as cities of refuge, to which a person who unintentionally killed another and other may flee to take refuge from an avenger of blood. And the avenger of blood basically is the next of kin. That's why it says that if one went to a city of refuge and then he left there before the death of the high priest and a family member, next of kin, saw them, it would be, as we say, on sight. Of these six cities of refuge, three were to be located east of the Jordan and three located in the land of Canaan. However, these cities were not meant to harbor murderers. Was not meant to harbor murderers who would be tried in court or in a grand jury, that's where the grand jury comes from, the real grand jury, but they would be tried in court and put to death at the hand of an avenger of blood. The death penalty required testimony from at least two witnesses and admitted of no ransom. There was no plea bargain. It's interesting that Gurmawi Nagusa Nagas in the Pearl Master Gurmawi Hada Selassie says, we've abolished many things, but not the death penalty. So as the Torah, the glory of His Majesty. The Bible states the death penalty required testimony from at least two witnesses and admitted of no ransom or plea bargain to be offered in place of the murderer's execution. On the other hand, a person responsible for involuntary manslaughter of another was required to dwell within the confines of a city of refuge until the death of the high priest, the priest that was anointed, after which time he was free to return to his home without fear of retribution from an avenger of blood. That means that the avenger of blood still carried that on, and this one abided by everything, then that avenger of blood would be put to death, because they violated Torah. The leaders of the tribe of Manasseh then came before Moses, Moshe, to discuss the legal implications of the case of Zelophehad. So here we have some interesting case law. Zelophehad, the daughters, had his daughters, and they received the inheritance, whom, one should recall, he was a man of the tribe of Manasseh, who died in the desert in the wilderness without any sons to be his heir, though he had five daughters whom Jehovah said could inherit their father's portion in the land. These leaders were now concerned that if these daughters were to marry men from another tribe, the original inheritance would be transferred out of the territory of Manasseh, or Manasseh, thereby diminishing the inheritance given to their tribe. Very, very good, accurate point, as the daughters of Zelophehad had a very good, accurate point concerning their father's inheritance. So Moshe then ruled that to prevent the transference of inheritance from one tribe to another, the daughters of Zelophehad were only permitted to marry men within their own tribe. Therefore, it became a general law and case law that no tribe's inheritance may be passed or transferred to another tribe, and any daughter who had obtained a land inheritance could only marry someone within her own tribe. It's very practical, very sane, very sound right there. But the book of Numbers right here, and the historical narrative of the Torah itself, it concludes with the resolution of this legal question, case law, just before the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, invaded the land of Canaan under the leadership of Yehoshua, under the leadership of Iyasu. The book it completes, fulfills, ends with this statement. These are the commandments and the rules that Jehovah commanded through Moses to Amo Yisrael, the people of Israel, in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. Looking at the time right here, I might just go over a little bit just to touch on some interesting points that we can hopefully pick up in the Shavua coming forward. Matot. These are some of the discussion topics here for I and I, Rastafari sabbatical chat, and reason, come make with reason. So now there's a Hebrew word, haram. You might have heard of a place called a harem, but the haram. Haram means to ban, it means to destroy. Usually, it's thought of as total destruction of the enemy and his goods at the conclusion of a military campaign. There is what is called a harem. The harem is therefore the annihilation of Hailahim, of the power's enemies. Today, it refers to what is called excommunication. Excommunication from a Hebrew, Hebraic, Israelite community. How are we to understand Hailahim's, the power, the true good, the true God's call for the seeming, quote, genocide of the seven nations of Canaan as mentioned in Torah? And let me say for the record, people try to say, oh, well, the God of the Old Testament is not the same as the God of Jesus of the New Testament. They lie, they're fools. We could prove it, but right now on this point. For example, Hailahim states that we are to show no mercy to them in Deuteronomy, the next book coming up, chapter 7, verse 2, and to utterly exterminate the populations of these nations, the seven nations. What's interesting is that even the Kevra Negest, the glory of kings, it points to this precept. And Menelik and the 12,000 also carried out this principle when they brought the ark forward. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 16 to 18, bringing out the Torah sense of this. How are we to understand these commandments, especially in light of Ha'adon, Yeshua, in light of Gita Yesus, in light of Lord Jesus, his ethic of showing love to one's enemies? How are we to understand this? That's one of the sabbatical chat reason of I and I Rastafari Torah keepers. Vengeance. Let's touch on this just briefly here. Nikama. Word Nikama is a concept contained in both the Old and the New Testaments. The God of vengeance, El Nikamot. I think that's Psalm 94, if I'm correct. El Nikamot, the God of vengeances. Actually, vengeances. Nikamot is plural. Lord, God of vengeance, shine forth. Psalm 94, verse 1. Paul wrote that God will inflict vengeance on those who do not obey the message of Yeshua Moshechenu, of Yesus Getachin, of Jesus Ayanai Messiah, with the punishment of eternal destruction. Yes, Paul, apostle to the Gentiles, our Hebrew brother, apostle to the Gentiles. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 to 9, Paul wrote that Hilahim will inflict vengeance on those who do not obey the message, the gospel of Yeshua the Messiah, Ayanai Messiah, with the punishment of eternal destruction. So, let's discuss the idea of the wrath of Hilahim. Now, the portion, first part of the double portion, Matot, tribes, it finally identifies Balaam, as the cause of the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel's fukari, their sin, their lack, with the Midianite woman, or should we say with the whores of the Midianites, in Numbers chapter 31, verse 16. Why do you think the evil intent of Balaam's plan was revealed in this narrative here rather than the earlier one? Now, Rashi, he states that the tribes that settled east of the Jordan, Reuben, Gad, half of Manasseh, were more concerned with their property than their own children, because they spoke of the welfare, the shalom, the welfare of their cattle, their property, before their families, in Numbers chapter 32, verse 16. Moshe, he reversed their order. He put things in proper order. They had their priorities mixed up and out of order. Moses reversed their order in his rebuke to them in Numbers chapter 32, verse 24. So, question, why do you think these tribes, these Israelites, lost sight of the original vision of the promised land? Question, why do you think many of Ayanai, ethnic Yisrael, who are Rastafari, lost sight of the original vision of the promised land, Shashamani? Why do you think women were treated differently, seemingly, regarding vows than men? Is this evidence of a so-called patriarchal society, or is it perhaps something else? Let's reason on that. Are all vows necessarily bad? What about marriage vows? What about vows to keep faith in Jehovah and his promises? Make I and I reason on this. Rules for kashering. Now, kashering is like making kosher, right? Making clean, according to Yahweh. The utensils, the tools, the utensils are defined in the first of the double portion, Numbers chapter 31, verses 21 to verse 23. So come, make we reason on the idea that everyday objects should be cleansed before being used. It's interesting that emphasis on the cleansing of the tools. In the liturgy of His Majesty of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, the liturgy book, the original one, there's a section there which reminds me of the Torah, where the tools, utensils, when they're first used in like a new church or whatnot, they have to be cleansed, they have to be cleaned, they have to be prepared. On to some quick discussion, reasonments, potentially for us individually, collectively, you know, here for Masai, the second of the double portion, the last reading of Numbers, Bamidbar. This portion, Masai, journeys, trods, it begins with a list of place names, many of which are, some say, unknown or otherwise obscure. Why do you think Hilahim, Ha Elohim, the power, the true good, the true God, commanded this detailed list? We have Numbers chapter 33, verse 2. Now, the Baal Shem Tov said that the 42 stations from Mitzrayim, from Egypt, from Kemet, to the promised land are replayed in the life, the liberty of every individual Yehudi, every individual Israelite, as the soul journeys, as the psychic, the soul journeys from its descent to return to its source. In other words, the 42 stations, places from Egypt to the promised land are replayed in the life, the liberty of every individual Hebrew and Israelite, every individual Yehudi, as the soul journeys from its descent into world flesh, the satanic seclorum, and its return, its repatriation to the Father, return to the Father, to its source. Come. Make I and I reason. The first stop after the Exodus was called Sukkot, or booths, tabernacles. Make I and I reason on the significance of this. One great puzzle in the account of the places given in the book of Numbers is that the camp at Mount Sinai, the place of the great revelation of the Torah, interestingly enough, is not even mentioned. So, why? Lamaze, why? Lemon didn't know. Why do you think the revelation at Sinai was left unmentioned? The account of the roots of the Exodus is described differently in the book of Exodus than in the book of Numbers. For example, the incident of the Kibrot HaTa'ava, or the graves of the lust, the graves of the lust, where the people wanted debtors, they wanted to eat debtors, the Kibrot HaTa'ava, that incident where Hilahim sent the plague of quails, is only briefly mentioned in Exodus chapter 16, verse 13, at a location that is named, according to the scripts, between Elim, or Elim, and Sinai. Whereas it is more fully discussed in Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 to 34, after Moses had met up with Jethro at a location near Sinai. Attempt to harmonize the account given in both books, if you can. Why? Lama, in Hebrew, lama, why? Lemon, in the Amharic. Why did Hilahim, Exiabia, quote, drive out the heathen inhabitants of Canaan, but instead made this Yisrael, Israel's responsibility? In Numbers chapter 33, verse 50 to verse 53. In other words, they had to work for it. An interesting point of curiosity is that in Numbers chapter 1, we get the pedigree of the Israelites. Many of the other Israelite camps, the ISUPK, One West, they say this is what proves you're Israelite. What they miss is that though the list of those ones in Numbers chapter 1 were those who 20 years and above would have to, in a sense, work it out, work out their salvation. They would have to go forth armed and put in that work to claim the land for the woman, the children, and everyone else. This is why men are usually the inheritors, because when it's on the line, we have to fight and lay down our life if necessary for our family. But why didn't he drive out the heathen inhabitants, but instead made this Israel's responsibility? Just two more areas of reasonment here, possible reasonment. The historical narrative of the Torah, it ends with a discussion regarding the Israelite law, the inheritance rights of the daughters of Zelophehad. Is this the ending you would have expected to the wilderness? The discussion of daughters inheriting land? Let's reason on the meaning of the entire book of the wilderness called Numbers. The Midrash Numbers Rabbah, it equates the establishment of cities of refuge with Hilahim, the power, with Jah's judgment of Adam and Eve after their sin, their uckery in the Gan Ba'eden, in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Delights, in Genesis 2:17. And this portion here, Masa'eh Guzo, it explains that a person banished to a city of refuge must remain there until the death of the Kohen Gadol, until the death of the Lika Kahinat, until the death of the high priest. How does the death of the high priest, the priest that is the anointed, the Messiah priest, the high priest, how does this compensate for the loss of a life? Is this another picture of Ha'adon, Yeshua, as our high priest, of Jesus, as I and I high priest? So here, brothers and sisters and brothers, yes, I. Chazak, onit chazek. Be strong, make I and I be encouraged. This is what is said whenever we conclude, fulfill a book of Torah. We say chazak, be strong, onit chazek. And may I be strengthened. Yes, I. Melkam Ehud, Shabua Tov. Blessed first day, Melkam Ehud. Shabua, the seven, the sabbatical, strong, Tob, good, Awab, yes, I, Eras, the far eye, Shalom, 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 Shalom.